Hey, Sedano, LC and Cap with you here. And yeah, I was bleeping driving. That's why I was leaning voice notes, Chris Morales. So go put that in your pipe and shove it up your you know where.
Oh, whoa.
What's that?
Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Not for me, but all right.
Some people are exit only. Whatever happens.
Yeah. Hey.
Baskin Robbins makes 31 flavors for a reason. How are you, gentlemen?
What's going on today, guys? How's everybody feeling? How's everybody living? How's everybody doing? Talk to me, LZ.
Did we lose LZ already?
No, come on. Did we?
It sounds like it.
No. All right.
LZ is in a new location today, so perhaps there may be some internet issues.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
There's the man.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, guys.
What's up, LZ? I just
set up.
Right.
And I tried to make one little minor adjustment, and everything went dark, so I unadjusted that.
I thought you always said make sure you bet on black, though.
Yeah, bet on black. I didn't say bet on dark. Going dark is not good.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. That's fair. Yeah. So, anyway, LZ, Scott asked you what you got cooking this weekend.
Nothing. I work.
I'm always working.
I'm a worker. I'm a worker bee.
Are you working on anything interesting?
What I'm working on, let's see, I got to go through the third round of the documentary I'm directing. I'm trying to finish this piece for the Times. And yeah.
What documentary?
I want to direct a documentary.
You should.
I have one in my mind. What's yours about?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
We've already been through this, Cap. I don't tell you stuff before I get it done.
I know. But I'm just going to keep trying. Maybe one day you'll just let your guard down and you'll be like, oh, you know what it's about? It's really cool.
Yeah.
No.
Well, speaking of letting guards down, Sean McVay let his guard down yesterday.
He did.
So people that don't know, we had Raheem Morris on a couple of weeks ago, the new defensive coordinator. Him and Sean go way, way back, okay? Way back. They came up together, basically, in the league. They're like brothers, as Sean put it and Raheem put it. So Raheem dropped a couple of weeks ago to us that when I asked him what would be something about Sean that would surprise us, and he basically said he's like Justin Timberlake as a dancer. So we brought this up to McVay yesterday, and look at how this thing went with McVay. Like, he leaned into it. Speaking of our boys back, our boy Sean McVay is back, the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, joins us here. Sean, always good to talk to you, brother. So here's the deal. We had your buddy Raheem Morris on recently, okay?
And oh, yeah.
He revealed something to us, Sean, and we thought we were all close around here with you, but he revealed something, because he goes way back with you, that we didn't know about you. So here's what he revealed.
He's actually a phenomenal dancer if you get him in the right setting and you get him in the right place. Particularly, you can see him do some things that are pretty special. He thinks he's Justin Timberlake. He got a little stuff to him. That might surprise you a little bit. I'm not sure if you know
whoa,
that.
Whoa.
Doesn't surprise me.
Hold up. Hit the pause.
Doesn't surprise
hold
me.
Hold up 1 second. Is he on a John B. level of white dude? Or is he?
Hey, the guy's got some flow. But give me my other option. When you mention John B., you know, you're talking about one of the coolest white dudes.
That's what I'm saying. So
in an R&B move, but I'll give me another option there.
So does John B, you know, below that is, let's say, M. Below that, let's say, Justin Timberlake. Then below that, let's say the dude from, like, Color Me Bad.
I want to sex you up.
He's a mixture of swag with definitely Justin, you know. So you could put him on a Justin swag. Huh. You could put the dance moves, a little bit of mix of Justin and a little bit of a corniness flow to it that makes him feel good, up to Color Me Bad. So you could put him on all those levels. But when you put us together, you definitely can get the Holy Grail.
So, McVay, it sounds like you could have been in, like, a boy band, according to Raheem Morris.
Hey, like John B. would say, they don't know.
Oh! You've been holding back on us, dog. You've been holding back
on
us, son.
What people say. Don't listen to what people say. You know, I'm just telling you. Everybody can find a little rhythm with a little liquid courage, LZ.
Ah, you see, that's it right there. Because if you listen to what Raheem was saying, he's like, you put him in the right space, you get him in the right. Yeah, you just put a little bit of vodka in him and watch him go.
It doesn't take much. I'm just telling you that.
I've
for me
never
to be two stepping all over.
I'm never saying your first and last name ever again. See, I was saying Sean McVay because I had you in a certain space. But now I'm calling you S Boogie. Your name is S Boogie now, dog. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm going to take that. I love it. Hey, like John B would say, they don't know.
So that was the biggest surprise I think we've had on this show in a really long time. Not only was that Raheem Morris revealed it, but that McVay leaned into it, LZ.
Well, I, as I said, like, he's been holding back on us for years.
Clearly.
Years.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering what else he knows. Can he cook? Can he make, like, catfish and grits and we didn't know? I'm trying to figure out what, you know.
Look, if he can make catfish and grits, do you think he can make, arroz con frijoles? Like, what do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, nothing should surprise us anymore is what
nothing.
You're saying.
He's probably baking challah. He's probably making challah right now for you.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom to you, LZ.
Dude. Like, seriously, raise your hand. Don't know what can see our hands. Raise your audio hands if you thought Sean McVay will be dropping John B. knowledge and
not
walk away from the fact that we all said he could dance.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. No.
But and when you play like the rest of the interview, there's a point in which I ask if the fiance, Veronica, knew about his, other side. And he came back and said, "How do you think I got her?" That boy's got moves. Now, what he got hired so young by the Rams? Mm-hmm. He probably walked in and Les Snead was like, "Well, I don't know, young man. You're awfully young." And he was like, "Pop, pop, 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 pop." And bam.
Yeah. And then he was like, "Whoa, wait a second. Whoa. If you can do that, you've got the confidence to do anything."
Exactly.
And you know those tight pants he wears when he's coaching in a game? You know those tight tan-colored, stretchy kind of pants that he's rocking?
Yeah.
I mean, you think he rocks those things when he's showing off those moves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Sean is definitely a skinny jeans guy. I don't think there's any doubt.
Well, I think born after 1990 is probably a skinny jeans guy at this point.
I mean, but
it's our generation that had the big-ass breaks at the bottom and...
Right.
Pants legs so wide you could put two legs in them and stuff like that. I don't think the young peoples are doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sean McVay, as Boogie, is a young person.
Oh, man.
Listen, I thought it was great, man. I thought it was great that he was willing to talk about it all. And I'll bet you guys that on the other end of the phone, McVay's sitting on the other end of the phone. He's going, "This is awesome. I'm talking about my dance moves. Nobody's grilling me about my goal line offense and my play calling.
Right.
No one's beating around the bush about the quarterback situation that we can't talk about. No one's putting this on me. No one's saying this. Hey, coach, when you get your new QB, if you don't go to the Super Bowl and win, now it's all on you, pal. Instead, it's like, hey, when you getting married? And, yo, you really got moves?"
It's pretty rough. Now I'm starting to wonder. I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking at Frank Vogel differently now.
Oh, do you think Frank Vogel can dance?
At this point,
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Now, would he be in your top three coaches that you think can't dance? Like, if you had to pick three coaches in any line, any sport, right? Any professional sport. It could be college, too, if you want. Do you believe that he would be in that top three of coaches? Because I don't know if – I feel like Frank has a few, right, like any adult beverage. And I think Frank can get down. Look, Frank went on the David Letterman show, okay, as a youngster. And, like, what was that thing that David Letterman used to do, cheap human tricks or whatever?
Yeah.
And he went out there and, like, spun a basketball while like, brushing his teeth or something ridiculous like that. Like, there's a YouTube about this.
I got to look this up. I know nothing
about
this.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking at Frank Vogel. When he get back on air, I got to start asking Frank and other coaches about their dancing abilities. Because S. Boogie threw us for a curveball.
He did throw us for a curveball. Yeah, I don't think there's any question. See, because if I look at, like, the coaches in all of sports, right, like in the non-McVay category that I think could dance, I'm going to give you a couple coaches right now. And one of them may surprise you, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins, okay?
Can dance?
Okay.
Can dance, yes. Top three that can dance, okay? This man is half Honduran, half black, okay? There's no way on earth you can tell me that someone who is half Latino, half black cannot dance. He is Blacktino, okay? You have to be able to dance.
It kind of seems like a requirement.
Yes.
It does feel like if you only had one or the other, I could see you falling through the cracks. But if you're doubling up like that,
yes.
I don't know.
Blacktino, you absolutely, Afro-Latino, Blacktino, you absolutely can dance. So I'm going to go with another one. This one in the NBA, Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is like the loosest dude you've ever come across. Now, people may know him because he makes the funny faces on the sidelines or whatever, but he does get down with the wardrobe. Remember, he once wore that jacket that had all the different logos of all the teams he's coached in the G League and internationally and all that stuff. Like, he plays the guitar. He's like a musician type to begin with. I think that if you gave Nick Nurse an opportunity to get on stage, not only would he get down, but he'd get down with his guitar, okay? And then number three, see, I thought about, do I go with like one of the young guys like McVay, you know, like Cliff Kingsbury, who's McVay's guy, right? But here's what I'm going to tell you. I remember a story Andy Reid said recently about when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He said that in Miami, the party was led by the musical act of one Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide, Pitbull, and uh-huh. Andy Reid revealed that he got down with Pitbull till 4:30 in the morning. So even though you think maybe because he's a big guy, maybe because he's an older guy, no, man. You ain't wearing those Hawaiian shirts that he likes to wear if you don't like to get down. So I'm going to go Brian Flores, Nick Nurse, and a surprise, I believe, in Andy Reid.
See, I don't know if Andy Reid can dance. I know he can club and hang. But I don't know if he can dance.
I know for sure he can't. He cannot dance.
There is a difference.
He cannot dance.
How do you know?
There's just no chance.
How do you know?
Just too uptight, too paranoid. Just as many times I've been around that guy.
You think he's paranoid and uptight? I feel like he's like the polar opposite of most NFL coaches.
Oh, George, let me tell you something, man. I've done so many Kansas City Chiefs games, and it's the worst group to work around. They're so paranoid. They're out of their minds. When it comes to him, I'm telling you, he can't dance, LZ.
Maybe they're out of their mind and paranoid because they don't want you to find out his secret.
Right.
Huh? Huh? Maybe.
They don't want you to know that him and Patrick Mahomes are going to Cancun with Ted Cruz every other weekend. Getting it in.
Really?
Maybe they don't want you to know that.
So, LZ, who are your three? Three coaches, all of sports, that can dance. Go.
That can dance.
Yeah.
Well, number one, I know for a fact Steve Nash.
Oh, you know what? That is a good one, Steve Nash. Yes. I omitted him. That is a good one. Yes. So, still young enough, too.
Still
yes.
young enough. Yep. Yeah. So Nash got some boogie in him. I'm going to go with Richard Williams, the Serena and Venus's.
Is his dad?
The dad.
Right.
Because he used to dance all the time in the stands with no music when they were winning. So I can only imagine what he would do.
Okay.
He was in a club.
See,
with
I didn't even think about that as the coach because I didn't remember that he was actually their coach because then they had tennis coaches after the fact, but you're right.
And then the third person who I think could dance, who could get it in, I'm going to go with Monty Williams.
Ooh, Monty Williams. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Monty
Williams was a point guard. You got to have some moves.
Got to have some moves. I was going to pick Fizz, but I think Fizz has been beaten down by the league so much, he done lost his rhythm.
Yeah, poor Fizz.
They ain't treating him right, man. They ain't treating your brother right.
They are treating him right. They are treating him right. So, Scott, give me three. Go. I almost said you almost pooped on in the way I shouldn't have on my Andy Reid pick. But go ahead.
Three guys who can dance. Okay. I've seen this guy throw it around a little bit. How about Mike Tomlin? Tomlin got some moves.
First of all, Mike Tomlin is a great one. Do you remember when he tried to kind of toe the sidelines during that game against the Ravens?
Yep,
the guy was like running down the sideline, he tried to distract him, but then he kind of did like almost like a Michael Jackson, Deion Sanders high step kind of move away from the sideline. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah. Tomlin's got moves. LZ told me that Anthony Lynn likes good tequila. So what's the new coach's name from the Lions? We get him.
Brandon
he brings
Staley?
Anthony Lynn. What's his name?
Brandon Staley.
No. The coach of the Lions. The new guy.
Lions.
Yeah. No, Brandon Staley. Listen, Brandon Staley can't dance because he's not old enough to get into a club yet. You see?
Who is the Lions' new head coach?
Is it Campbell? Is it Dan Campbell?
Oh, Dan Campbell. That's right.
I just call him Kneecaps.
Yeah, the guy from the, what was the South Park character? Yes, go ahead.
The kneecap. So you got to figure he hangs out with Anthony Lynn, who's now his offensive coordinator. Anthony Lynn brings the tequila. Now you got a party. Let's get these guys dancing.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And lastly, you know who I think could move? And I don't think you guys are going to buy this, but how about Bruce Arians? He seems like the kind of guy that drinks, gets wasted, and then just lets it loose.
He ain't dancing.
No, you aren't wearing that Kangol hat if you're not dancing.
No, no, no. He's the dude in VIP behind the velvet rope with bottle servers waiting till they show up and come to him. That's him. He ain't out there trying to impress like a peacock trying to draw attention. No, he's sitting in the cut with the brothers just waiting till they come on by, and then he's just picking up the scraps, whatever Tom Brady doesn't want.
Yeah, Laura. I see him as being a guy who just kind of doesn't move around a lot, you know, but just kind of shakes it enough to make it look like he's dancing. You see
okay,
what I'm
saying?
Okay,
that's fair. That's fair. Laura, give me one coach that you in all of sports that you know can dance.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to go with Vogel.
Oh.
You think Vogel can dance?
You know what? People got hidden talents.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm going to go with Vogel.
I mean, the fact that he performed on national television as a youngster on David Letterman gives me the belief that he certainly has the confidence to do it.
Just watched it. I don't know. Listen, I tell you right now, George, I'd never heard of that before. Watching him spin a basketball on the end of a toothbrush while brushing his teeth in front of David Letterman, that's freaking cool, dude.
Yeah, you got to have confidence to do that. Greg, do you have one coach? Yes or no?
Yeah, the right answer, Mark Madsen. And he is a head coach. He's the head coach of the Utah Valley University team in the WAC. So Mark Madsen
would be correct.
Yeah, WAC
would be correct.
Laura has another one. Laura's got another one. Go ahead, Laura.
Dave Roberts. Oh, he can get down.
Oh, yeah. I can see Dave getting down.
Yeah.
Multicultural as well.
Multicultural.
Cap is not on my side on this.
Not so sure about that one.
All right, coming up next, you know, maybe we'll discuss further if Frank Vogel can really dance. Scott is now impressed by his David Letterman appearance. But there's good news for the Lakers on the horizon. We'll tell you what in just a moment. Stick around. Sedano, LZ, and Cap here on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, yeah. Sedano, LZ, and Cap. I haven't heard this song in like 15 years, I want to say.
Right?
But it's a jam.
It still slaps. It still slaps.
It's a jam.
It's the bass. It's the bass. Bass. See, the thing about bass, bass never ages.
Never.
Never.
Ask Uncle Luke.
Exactly. If you have bass, you got the right amount of bass in your cut, it's going to last.
Yeah.
If you're experimenting with anything else, it could be suspect. But if the bass is right, you good.
Bass is transcendent. That's an excellent adage for today, kids. If you learned anything today, bass is transcendent. So we were just talking about Sean McVay, now S Boogie, forever to be known on this show, because he can dance like Justin Timberlake. So Siobhan Roberts is a loyal listener to this show, LZ. She's a and Cap. She's a principal in the. She lives in the city of Laverne. I don't know what school she is the principal for, but she tweets me and says, so according to Sedano, my future kids will be able to dance because they will be Black Tino. He better be right because my dancing skills are suspect. So I can't help you there, Siobhan. But, you know, I mean,
it's good to be aware, though. It's good to be aware. Like, if you're not a good dancer, like, it's good to know that you're just not a good dancer. You know?
Yeah.
Are you speaking from experience or?
I mean, I kind of feel like LZ, like here's the problem. You ready? The problem is that I actually think I'm a good dancer, but I'm probably, if I'm being honest with myself, if I'm looking in the mirror eye to eye, I'm probably not, but I think I am. You see?
So you need to take your own advice.
I guess, man. I mean, I just don't want to believe that I'm not a good dancer, at least with Siobhan. She's like, hey, look, I'm suspect. Me, I'm not sus. I think I'm good.
Right. But you got the confidence, which I like. I like the confidence that you've got in you.
Working on some new moves, by the way, just so you know.
Fair enough. We'd love to see them at some point.
I mean, TikTok, and by see you guys.
Them, by see them, we'd love to mock them, of course. But nonetheless, we'd still like to see them. Okay. By the way, if I had to pick someone who I know can't dance, Brad Stevens. End of story. I think I got the trump card right there. I got the ace in the deck.
Brad Stevens.
Why, you just think he looks like he's just super tight?
No, nice guy. I just don't think he's a dancer.
There's a certain rhythm that is expressed in your walk, in your mannerisms,
right,
in the way you point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never shown any of that rhythm.
Never.
Never.
Never. Never. So I'm going Brad Stevens as
all of those things you just said, LZ, are all things that I'm good at. Walking, pointing.
No, okay. No. I said there's a rhythm.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm good at that.
It. No,
right,
no, I'm no, rhythmic. No,
I'm rhythmic. No. The way I walk.
Point. I can already tell you can't dance, Scott.
No, for real, dog. Seriously. Like you remember I told you that I hear Disco Inferno in my head and I'm walking in slow motion? I got a good walk, I got a good rhythm, I got a good point. I got all those things.
If you're walking in slow motion to Disco Inferno, you're already off beat.
I know, but it's just about the beginning of the movie, what's it called, with Woody Harrelson.
Who's walking slow to this beat?
I know, it was just the way he walked into the bowling alley. Anybody know the name of the movie I'm talking about? Kingpin.
No, man.
Kingpin.
I'm too busy trying to figure out how in the hell are you walking slow to this beat?
Unless you're being directed by
Michael Mann.
It was done in post-production.
He'll do it, yeah.
Yeah, it was all post. It was all done
in
post.
Can we see you do this? Like, can you put the music on in your house, okay? And can we have you just this song blaring in the background, right?
Yep,
and just you do the walk. Like, show us, like, come on, baby, you're on the catwalk. Show me. Come on, give me blue steel.
That can happen. Yes, George, that can happen. You're getting me excited. Yes.
Let's go.
Yes, that can happen.
So in the break, just do it.
Greg did it.
Greg did do it.
He did
do it during one of the breaks once.
I was very tired afterwards, but I did it.
He was very tired. It was very windy. But he was able to do it and get down. So we need to see this. Like, enough talk. Stop talking bleep and let's go, Kaplan.
I'll tell you something right now. I'm actually kind of feeling right now like I'm a little loosened up because earlier today I was listening to some Lady Gaga, Let's Dance, because I was following the story about her dogs. Did you guys hear about her dogs getting kidnapped?
I did hear about her dogs.
Oh, my God. Like, the craziest thing. Guys walking the three dogs. Dude, somebody jumps out and shoots the guy and takes the dogs.
Yeah, what, crazy.
The fact that you started off with the dogs and not the guy that was shot is very disturbing to me.
I know. It's just
someone got shot, and then they took the dogs.
Yes.
You started with the damn dogs.
I know. I'm a Frenchie owner. Sorry. I mean, yeah. I feel terrible. Right. But, it's a horrible story. So I'm feeling loosened up already is what I'm saying to you guys.
Okay, fair enough. And if you got to take a shot at tequila, do it. No one will tell. We're at home anyway, so whatever. Speaking of getting ready and let's go, it's time for the Lakers to get going, okay? And there are no more excuses or less excuses, I would say, LZ Granderson, because Dennis Schroeder's probable tonight, which means he's going to probably play. And look, LeBron has clearly needed another creator, right? He's needed someone else to help him carry that burden, particularly on offense. I think defensively they've been still pretty good even without Anthony Davis. But on offense, their offensive rating went from a 116 to like a 105. Okay, that's not good. 105 would be worst in the league, basically. 116 would be near the top of the league. So they need Dennis Schroeder back in a big way.
They do. This is a guy who, to your point, can create for himself as well as others. But they also miss his defense and the defensive tone that he sets early on. The hustle, the grittiness. It's not that, the KCP, it's not that Caruso, it's not that, anyone else, Wesley Matthews, that they put in the backcourt won't be tough and won't, do their best to play defense. But there's a reason why we went out and got Dennis. There's a reason why he finished second in the Sixth Man of the Year award last season. There's a reason why we want to lock him up for the long haul. He's that good. And as much as we like to think, certainly I do anyway, I'll speak for myself, that as long as you got LeBron and a couple cans of soup, you should be good. This stretch has shown that maybe that's not the case anymore. And that maybe at 36 and having played, more minutes than anyone in the history of the game, that maybe, just maybe, Superman needs the Justice League.
Well, I think that Schroeder brings an energy. That's kind of, for me, what I'm looking forward to tonight, at least hoping that he brings an energy. Because I think that if you believe that they've been playing tired, and if you're thinking, like you're saying, LZ, that maybe Superman has gotten himself exhausted here trying to carry everybody, the one thing that I think Schroeder will bring tonight, George, is just energy, like new energy, few days off, fresh legs, and the style that he plays is energetic, it's upbeat, etc. So I'm just looking to see, can he lift up the energy of a team that is all of a sudden fallen on hard times, Daddy?
Yeah, oh, I don't think there's any question. Like, they need something. They need someone to help. And as LeBron likes to call him, Dennis the Menace may be that guy to kind of put that together. But look, I'll ask you this. Like, there's a number of things that when you look at this roster, you say to yourself, okay, can they make this work, right, with the group that they have? And clearly, by a move they made today, the answer is no. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Stick around. We're back in a couple of minutes. 4 minutes, excuse me, to be exact. Sedano, LZ, and Cap, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks, Chris. Today's name is Jonathan Page from Rancho Cucamonga. That's Jonathan Page from Rancho Cucamonga. Jonathan Page, your mission is to call us back within 20 minutes at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776, and you can win $360 in cash and qualify to win the grand prize on Monday of $1,800.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. Visit sweetjames.com.
Oh, yeah. Laura, you are hitting every note right today to start the show. That's all I'm saying.
I got you guys. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
It is Friday.
I'm going to get high as hell when I get done with this show. Y'all don't know. This week has been so stressful for a variety of reasons.
Anything you can reveal or you care to reveal? If not, it's fine. We can just move on.
No. So Congress is voting on the Equality Act so that LGBTQ
people. Yeah, I saw your story
people.
In the LA Times. Excellent work, as always. Obviously.
Thank you, sir. So that was nerve-wracking, you know, going back and forth with members, spokespeople with the White House, and trying to get a sense of what's going on with that as I was writing the piece. Mm-hmm. So that's stressful.
Yeah.
We had our conversation yesterday, myself and several other reporters from the Los Angeles Times, talking about covering last year's events.
Yeah.
And just reliving some of the trauma that we were experiencing as we were trying to cover it is very stressful. Yeah. And then just trying to do this damn show with the Lakers losing all the time and me not trying to jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
That's very stressful.
By the way, shout out to the LA Times. LZ, you and I talked about this last week, and I tweeted about it last week, but they hired a Latina sports editor. She is the only Latina sports editor in the country. She came from the Orlando Sentinel. She's a Texas native, Ileana Limon Romero. So she is, Latina woman. So very excited because in this town, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the previous sports editor was also Latino. He was Cuban, actually.
Yep, he was.
Who hired you, LZ. But Ileana is very good at what she does. She is, and again, not to say that anyone previously wasn't, but I'm saying, like, I know about her work, and she is impressive. So shout out to the LA Times there, too.
Just want to get back to LZ for 1 second. You're going to get high AF, is that right?
AF.
Yes.
Okay, and what do you got planned? I mean, like, in terms of what you're going to get high with. Edibles, flower.
Oh,
you've
flower.
Talked about smoking joints.
I just bought this new sort of, my a good friend of mine passed this info on to me. There's, like, this pipe. It's like a pre-roll, but it has, like, a peppermint filter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I've seen those. Yeah.
So I'm planning on, like, getting high and then making out and seeing if he can tell.
So it's like, do I taste like spearmint or do I taste like, you know, smoke?
You right. know what I would want? I would love to see if they can make something where there'd be like alcohol flavored, like scotch or whiskey or bourbon. Or
I'd be
like,
down with that.
Yeah.
Like if I had like a flower that had a filter that was like some yak.
Or like mojito.
Or mojito? Oh, mojito. Oh, I kind of like that. Yeah.
You know, you could take a pre-roll that has a filter at the bottom, and you could just, like, dip it a little bit.
You could dip it.
Yeah, you could dip it, and then you could have the taste if that's what you like, you know.
Now, you'd have to dip the filter before, make sure you obviously have to be very careful, right,
yes.
That you don't let the liquid slide too far up, you know, but.
Right.
Oh, people used to do that with cigars all the time. Like, I don't like cigar smoke. I'm like, I got to get away from this, you know. But people would take cigars and stick it in the bottom of like a glass of wine and do that. So you could do it. It could be done.
It can be done.
So, LZ, Laura, do me a favor. Get the Richard Jefferson sound ready because I want to get to that in a second. But, LZ, you have requested that the Los Angeles Lakers, who have clearly caused you a lot of stress, as you said just a moment ago, add a big man, that they need a man to protect the rim. They need someone who can be someone who can patrol the paint. And they have brought in not a one-time, but a two-time NBA champion. You ready?
Yes.
They have brought in Damian Jones.
Really? Damian Jones?
Yeah.
Two-time champion?
I didn't think Booby was still playing.
No. That's Daniel Gibson.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. No, Damian Jones.
Wait. Oh. I didn't know he was still shooting threes.
No, not Damian Jones.
Oh.
Damian Jones, the former first...
Oh, yeah. I loved him on In Living Color with his brother and stuff.
No, that's Damon Wayans. No. Damian Jones is a former first-round pick of the Golden State Warriors who was on those KD teams and won two championships, but has since bounced around to the G League, the Atlanta Hawks, the Phoenix Suns, and now added to the Lakers.
I never heard of the guy. So what are you saying? Are you saying that they went out and signed a guy who's tall, and is there any expectation that he's going to contribute? Because if that's the case, why is he so available? And I have, again, you'll have to scout him out for me, George. I don't know who he is, and apparently LZ didn't know who he was.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. He's available because, he wasn't on a roster, so there's that. And we know this year the rosters have been expanded, so there's that. But he's been signed to a 10-day contract. So it's like a tryout, right, basically. And my guess is over 10 days, whether it's practice or maybe even a little game time, they will give him some run to see if he can help in the departments that LZ feels, and a lot of us and all of us really feel like they've been lacking. And look, because of the expanded rosters cap, there just aren't a lot of available big men that you can get right now, right? Like, if Andre Drummond gets bought out, that's different, right? If you traded for Hassan Whiteside, that's different. But as far as, like, on the street, ready to roll, like, this is probably the best you're going to get. He's a former first-round pick who has talent, but it just hasn't materialized elsewhere. And we've seen guys, you know, bounce around the league. I mentioned Hassan Whiteside. That's a perfect example, right? Before he stuck in the NBA for a little bit. The Lakers played a guy in Duncan Robinson last year that, you know, was basically out of the league. He was ready to go, like, try to work in media. He was 25 years old, came from a Division III school, bounced around the G League. And, you know, now, you know, last year was the third best three-point shooter in the league. So there have been stories that these things have worked out, and you got to find perhaps a diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my fingers are crossed. You know, the thing that Greg and I were talking about, and then obviously when the rest of us got online, was why isn't he playing? Mm-hmm. Because if you're telling me a 7-footer with bounce at 25 years old and cheap is available, mm-hmm. I'm always wondering what's the catch.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, manna from heaven is biblical. It is an NBA-ical.
Right. Although KCP was manna from heaven, if you recall correctly, that Rob Pelinka said a couple years ago.
So. Rob so says the, a lot, though.
So there already was manna from heaven already on the Lakers roster. So,
but, I mean, are you really, really expecting this guy? And by the way, I'm with LZ. I'm kind of like, hey, good for you, young man. Like, what a great opportunity. Former first-round pick, got a couple of rings, been around some great players, on some good teams, come try and fit in. Okay, great. But I mean, should there be an expectation that he really...
Absolutely
really
not.
Contributes? I mean, is he going to make us forget about AD?
No,
definitely not going to make you forget about AD.
Want to make sure.
Definitely.
Here's the thing. LeBron James was able to lead the league in assists because he had three guys who were above the rim type of players that he could lob it to and get quick, easy, cheap assists.
Mm-hmm.
And this season, two of those three are gone, mm-hmm. and the remaining third has a bum leg.
Correct.
So that play, that lob play that they thrived on, has actually just been totally removed from their playbook to begin this season.
Excellent point, LZ, because if you look at LeBron in more recent history, to your point, right, you mentioned the guys last year. Prior to that in Cleveland, you know, Tristan Thompson was kind of his vertical spacer pick and roll threat for many years there. In Miami, he had Chris Bosh and Chris Birdman Anderson play those roles for him. Like, he's always had those guys that could do that kind of stuff because it's easy for him to, because he's such a great passer, to be able to get those guys open. So if this kid's got anything right to him,
right,
then it's worth kicking the tires on.
Like, if what you guys say is right, though, then, you know, if I'm this kid, I am just like excited as can be because I'm what LeBron needs and I'm going to get easy baskets. Great. I'm a hair more skeptical. Like, okay, this is a young guy who hasn't been able to stick around, hasn't made any impact, and he's a body that they're bringing in. So I hope that he gets to be the beneficiary of what you guys are saying.
Well, Cap, the thing is, with the screen and roll game, especially when it's really high at the top of the key, if you're Marc Gasol, if you're Morris, if you're actually, I guess that's basically it. You're popping.
Right.
You're not really rolling. You're popping. Yeah. And you know, particularly when it comes to those two players that I mentioned, sometimes they're not popping, you know, efficiently. So when you bring in a kid with some bounce, he's not a shooter, but he's rolling hard to the bucket. That has to be respected at all times, which makes it easier for LeBron to finish plays at the rim because he doesn't have to worry about a double team because the defender for Damian Jones or Damon Wayans or whatever you want to call him, he's rolling to the basket hard, and he's got bounce, and it has to be guarded. It has to be respected. That's going to make things easier for LeBron and actually make it easier for those corner three-point shooters as well.
We're still looking for Jonathan Page from Rancho Cucamonga, right? Jonathan Page is his name. Jonathan Page from Rancho Cucamonga. We're trying to give you $360. You need to call us at 877-710-ESPN. You got 10 minutes, 877-710-3776.
Coaching, LZ. That was very good coaching. As you built that, the picture was painted perfectly in my head. You'll just have to excuse me for being skeptical that this kid's going to make a contribution.
I don't think he's going to make a contribution either, to be honest with you. I think you're just kicking the tires because this is the best thing you can do in this particular situation. And maybe we're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, again, we've seen first-round picks pan out in all sorts of sports because they didn't pan out in one place particularly. So, all right, coming up next, LeBron was called out. Okay, by one of his former teammates. We'll get to that in just a moment. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. You're listening to KSB in Los Angeles. Cap, what do you got?
Yeah, a couple of stories that I think everybody needs to know. You know, this was an interesting week, guys, for Russell Wilson, who today his people have said, we are not and have not demanded a trade from the Seahawks. Talk all week about Russell Wilson wanting out of Seattle has turned into this conversation. I'll throw it to you guys this way. If you had to choose between Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, who would you take, LZ?
You always pick the quarterback. If the quarterback can play, you always pick the quarterback. Always.
I would agree. I think that you always take the quarterback, especially a guy who's a top five quarterback. No disrespect to Pete Carroll, who I know is beloved here in Los Angeles. Well, some people probably are mad that he ran out on the program still too. But I think you take the quarterback. Like, sorry, Pete. You know, it is what it is. Like, I've seen it happen multiple times. Okay, Stan Van Gundy is one of my favorite people in the world, and you know, I know that there are a lot of stories about him and Shaq not getting along back in the day. And Pat Riley got a lot of crap for, you know, coming back down and Stan was no longer the coach. But, you know, if Pat had to choose between Shaq and Stan, he chose correctly.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it works. Yeah. You choose the star over the coach.
I love both of these guys. And it bothers me, actually, that at this stage of their careers, how they're sort of now publicly in a spat or so, it seems. So, I know it's like your first instinct, at least my first instinct was, you know, Russ wants out. Don't get rid of Pete Carroll because Russ wants out. You guys are making some compelling points. You got a top tier quarterback who's very unhappy. But, man, I think you got a really great head coach also. Man, what do you guys think? You think Russell Wilson's back in Seattle and do you think Pete Carroll's back in Seattle?
No, I don't think you can't call out your entire offensive line and come back to that team. You're done there. Like, you're done. Those guys have the block for you. No, not happening.
LZ?
What do you think? You keep asking questions. I want to know what you think.
I think they're both back. I think they're both back. I think it gets worked out. I think that they're both professionals. I think Russell Wilson is spreading his wings. I think that Pete Carroll has always been good at managing personalities and egos. And I think he's a great coach. And I think they have a great organization. I think they'll work it out.
All right.
Oh, man, I don't think you can call out your offensive line, LZ, and still come back to have those dudes block for you. I don't care how professional they are.
Well, you get new guys.
Well, that's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, five new ones? That's hard.
All right, let me give you guys one more story. This one's been going around here a lot. Kyrie Irving, the logo discussion.
Right.
Should the NBA logo be changed from what it is? And the way Kyrie wants it is, it should be Kobe. So, okay. I know I got some opinions here. You want to lead off, George? What do you think?
Okay, so I don't always agree with Kyrie, but I do agree with him to an extent here. Also, Jerry West has talked about how uncomfortable he is being the logo. He has actually said that. Those words were said on The Jump with Rachel Nichols, and I believe Israel Gutierrez was on that show that day. But here's the thing. I wouldn't choose Kobe. I would choose Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar should be the logo. I think the Skyhook should be the logo. You're talking about a guy who helped make the league. And you can elevate an athlete who's been instrumental to the success of the league while also being a voice for player empowerment, human rights, and has, you know, arguably the greatest resume in the history of the sport. That I would go with the cap, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I truly do not care who the logo is.
Same.
I truly don't care. Like,
I'm so with you.
Like, I understand it is an honor for the individual that is chosen. I understand Kyrie's perspective. I understand your perspective, George. There's a solid argument to be made for duo logos of Magic and Bird. There's an argument that could be made about using Michael Jordan, some form of the Jumpman as a logo. But as far as I'm concerned, I've never once stopped to look at the logo and think Jerry West.
Same. And I think if you asked every kid who was drafted into the NBA last year, who's that? They'd be like, I don't know. I just thought it was a logo. I didn't know. Really? Oh, who's he? And so I think that that's my first thought. And then the second thought is Kyrie like digging at LeBron? You know, they didn't shake hands. They didn't acknowledge each other. No hug before the game. No nothing. Is he digging at LeBron and using Kobe? And it just feels, I don't know. I don't like it, man. It feels kind of dirty to me.
I mean, I don't want to go there because he was so close with Kobe. Like when he won the championship in Cleveland, the first person he FaceTimed was Kobe. You know what I mean? So I don't want to feel like that isn't genuine where he's coming from. Although, you know, clearly people have questioned how genuine he is about a bunch of other things. And I think some of those could be fair game, but I don't buy that on this particular subject matter.
I actually think that he is kind of taking his jab, and I think I'll just ask you guys this. I mean, would he be saying this?
The person who took a jab was Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram took a jab at LeBron when he suggested that Zion was the first player he felt that was as good as him on the basketball court.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
No way. How did I miss that? When did he say that?
Said it. I think it was last night.
No way. Come on, B.I. I know that you didn't get along. I mean, it was clear. We know from that time, LZ, that they didn't get along. But, you know, I mean, come on. That's crazy.
I mean, everybody's in their feelings about LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Listen, LeBron, we've talked about this a lot.
Here's the quote. Hold on. I'm waiting, okay. For my.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this because I had no idea that was the case.
He said, oh, sorry, bad signal. He says, I've never played with a player as talented as me.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, B.I. I love you. You're a great kid, but you're nuts. Like,
no, he's
sorry.
Not a great kid. Not if you're disrespectful like that. That ain't a great kid behavior. That is a spoiled child.
That's the kind of guy that barks at Cam Newton at a camp.
Exactly. It's like, I get it. You weren't happy for whatever reasons. But I'm sorry, dog. You got traded, and the Lakers instantly won the championship. So I'm sorry you were upset about that, but that statement is just ridiculous.
It's bonkers. Yeah, I will give you that. It is bonkers. There's no way in hell that you know.
So that is a diss, Cap. What Kyrie was doing, I feel, was more about respecting Kobe and what he's meant to the game, more so than LeBron this time. Brandon Ingram is the one that gets the award for dissing LeBron this week.
Well, it seems like every week somebody wants to win it. There you go.
Right. It's like a contest.
Right. It's like a contest. It's so fun. And I truly am just baffled that all these players seem to think this makes them look good. When they say things like this, they're in their head going, yeah, yeah. And I'm like going, no, no, you look silly. What's wrong with you?
How did that go under the radar today? LZ, that would have been like the lead topic on the jump today. Like, how did that not get discussed over the last 24 hours in the news cycle? That is insane.
I mean, I saw it. It was like yesterday, but because it was so stupid, I didn't bother giving it much of the time of day. To be quite honest with you, I don't suffer fools gladly.
I know.
I'm just like, I look, you say something stupid, I'm going to ignore you. I like talking about smart stuff. That's dumb.
I like that you called it disrespectful, because I'm telling you, that conversation we had earlier this week, oh, George, you missed this thing, man. When Clinton Yates came on and told us that the kid who was barking at Cam Newton was totally in the right, that's like cultural and we should all understand it. And LZ's like, no, you don't seem to get it. Like, if that were my kid, I'd be humiliated. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I saw Clinton on Twitter, and I was like, no, bro, that ain't it. Like, I'm with you and LZ on that one. All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. The disrespect is real, LZ, with Brandon Ingram.
The disrespect is real.
But because he has such little gravitas, I really didn't even pay any attention.
Yeah.
Like Isaiah Thomas, little Isaiah Thomas, used to say dissing stuff about LeBron all the time. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really paying attention to you. Yeah.
Well, but remember, this another reason as to Scott, you'll love this. LZ and I, when Isaiah Thomas was playing in Cleveland, I remember telling him in key, nah, man, LeBron ain't messing with no Isaiah Thomas. And they're like, oh, come on, man, Isaiah Thomas. And then did he hit a game winner? Is that what it was?
I think he hit
LeBron
a game winner.
LeBron hit a game winner.
Yes, LeBron hit a game winner.
He ran right past Isaiah Thomas and jumped to Jetty Osman's hands. Like, right. It wasn't even like another star player.
But the best part, though, Cap, it was that I still wasn't buying it until I saw the footage of little Isaiah trying to get in the group hug.
And nothing. Yeah.
They wouldn't even let him in the gate.
LeBron wouldn't even let him in the hug, the group hug. It was hilarious.
And like he was traded like the next week or something like that.
Like literally days later, he was gone. Oh, man. All right. 877-710-ESPN. What do you make of B.I., former Laker, taking that kind of swipe at LeBron? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Plus, we got people who want to chime in on the dunk contest and the relevancy of it, also at 877-710-ESPN. We only got one more segment because we got Lakers-Blazers tonight, and the pregame starts at 5:30.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Unfortunately, you should have, you know what you should have done to Trudell? Yeah. You should have said no, it's not good. You call me Cap. We don't know each other like that.
Yeah. I was listening to last night. I was listening to Travis and Sliwa, and Travis asks Sliwa, hey man, when you go to In-N-Out, what do you get on your burger? And Sliwa, like right away, just gives him everything, you know? And I'm going, hey Sliwa, Travis won't even tell you what he has on a burrito. Don't tell him deep information like that about yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. He can call me Cap.
And I think Travis, LZ, I feel like he'd be judging Sliwa anyway on what he put on his burger.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Whether he agreed with it or not.
Right. Yeah. He'd be judging him for sure. Travis, really nice guy, but he's judging you deep inside. I know what he's doing. I see what he's up to. I smell what he's cooking. all right. We got a lot of people on hold who want to talk about this BI thing, ripping LeBron. the dunk contest conversation we were having. But real quick, I just want to get people updated. Tiger Woods' team, or Tiger, has tweeted out and said, well, it's his team, obviously, because I don't know if Tiger would talk about himself in the third person. But it says, Tiger has moved to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and received a follow-up procedure on his injuries this morning. The procedures were successful, and he is now recovering and in good spirits. Tiger and his family want to thank you and all, for the wonderful support and messages that they've received over the past few days. We will not have any other further updates at this time. Thank you for your continued privacy. So there you go. That's the latest on Tiger. Dennis Schroeder, by the way, is available and starting tonight per Frank Vogel. That has been reported. So good news for the Lakers. And, of course, Sliwa and Michael will have your pregame in 10 minutes. John and Michael with the call at 7 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. Michael in Pomona wants to talk about the dunk conversation that we were having. What's up, Michael?
What's going on? Appreciate taking the call. Been listening to you guys ever since you guys were in the morning with Keyshawn. Want to give a shout out to all my RNs out there taking care of everybody during this pandemic. We almost
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Just want to give my little insight on the dunk contest. I don't think LeBron or Zion needs to do it. These guys have been businessmen ever since they've been in high school. It does nothing for their legacy, nothing for their pockets. B.I., he's just spoiled grapes, you know. He got mad that he's not there for the championship. So have a great afternoon, guys. Take care. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Michael. Brother. Be good, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just disappointed in B.I., man.
Well, listen, so were the Lakers. That's why he got traded.
Oh, be nice.
It was nice. There were other things I could have said.
Why are you so disappointed in him?
He's such a nice kid. Like, I would never think that that would be something he would say. Like, I feel like he's, you know, he's always been such a kid that takes the high road on everything. Like, I just found that to be strange that would be the notion, you know, that he would. Or the position he would take.
Listen, as I said, I saw it, I ignored it because I considered the source.
I mean, I'm stunned, though, to Greg's point that nobody had. Now, Laura, I feel like Laura has a B.I. Now, Laura, this is interesting because, you know, you love the Lakers. You're not the biggest LeBron fan.
She doesn't like LeBron. I mean, she doesn't like him at all.
No, she doesn't like LeBron.
I respect him.
But she respects him, has a healthy respect. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about this B.I. situation?
I mean, I don't agree with what he said, but I mean, if you,
you're still trying to find a way to insult LeBron.
No,
let me help you out. Yeah. I don't agree with what he said, but I do think he's a better free throw shooter than LeBron. How's that?
You said it, not I.
Oh, but that's what you meant to say.
What if it went like this? Brandon Ingram says this quote. I've never played with a player as talented as me. And then what if somebody said to him right after that, but you played with LeBron? And he was like, yeah, I know, man. He's way above me, man. He's way above. I'm talking about like down here with me. Is that possible?
No.
No. Oh, okay. No. Absolutely all right. No, not
you're
possible.
Working
yeah.
way too hard,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Definitely yeah. doing yeah. too much there.
Not looking good.
He meant to diss LeBron, but he doesn't have the gravitas to diss LeBron. So
and
that's
it
why
didn't
it wasn't
resonate.
A story. Right. That's why it's not a story.
Yeah. Toby in North Hollywood. What's up, Toby?
Hey, man, I love this show. First of all, LZ's right. The criteria of the dunk contest has changed over the years. And LeBron, he had no reason to do it. He there was no upside. If he would have lost, everyone would have killed him. Now, Zion needs to do the dunk contest for the simple fact that we wouldn't even have known who Zion was if we wouldn't have seen him dunking on the internet. And he is Jordan brand. You think Mike ain't sitting there like, Zion, you need to win this dunk contest. His new shoe is coming out. He definitely needs to do the dunk contest.
Yeah,
he needs to do it
point.
This year, not 3 years from now.
Yeah, that is a good point. With the new shoe, LZ, you know, and thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. LZ, you know the shoe part is it plays in this stuff. The marketing, Toby's right.
Yeah, no. He's right about that for sure. I don't know if Zion wants to put that kind of pressure on himself like that. I don't know. But certainly if he participated, that would be a halftime show worth watching. You know, that would elevate the notoriety of the dunk contest that has desperately been needing some sort of life because it's been pretty – like, I don't even watch it anymore, to be quite honest with you. I just don't. It's just there are no creative dunks. The formula is old and stale. I would much rather they do things like do G Leaguers or, you know, have athletes from other sports, which they've done before. There was a dunk contest featuring athletes from other sports that participated. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But having a bunch of, you know, non-household name NBA players, you know, go through a dunk contest being judged by celebrities sometimes, I mean, that doesn't fulfill anything for anyone.
By the way, I'm being told that that caller, Toby in North Hollywood, was Toby Hicks, the comedian. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I got a text from somebody who said, yo, that was Toby Hicks, the comedian who just hit you up, who said he loves your show. So if that's the case, shout out to Toby Hicks.
Absolutely.
Well, if that's the case, we ought to get Toby Hicks to call back and actually spend a full segment and hang out and be funny.
But today's
and talk
not
sports.
The day because we got to go in like 3 minutes. So we can't do it today. But Toby, call us back.
Yeah. That would be great. Reach out, Toby. Dude.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Let's go to.
You need an opening act, Toby?
Yeah. No. is it Mattia? Mattia in LA?
It is. Mattia, how you guys
Mattia.
Doing?
Mattia, I know you've called before, and I butchered your name the other time, too. I'm sorry.
Cool name.
It's all good. It happens every day. But I think it's very crucial for Zion to participate because he is, like Toby just said, we wouldn't know him if he wasn't a dunker. It's the same way Steph Curry and Klay Thompson needed to participate in the three-point contest a couple years ago. And also, to LZ's point, if Zion goes into the dunk contest and we get the stars back into the dunk contest, then you'll actually have a reason to watch because it won't be Diallo and Derrick Jones Jr. doing it. And then also, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on, I don't think Kyrie was taking any shots at LeBron necessarily. I think he was just truly trying to honor Kobe. And Kobe is like the pinnacle of what a basketball player should be and what they should do on and off the court, how much time and effort they should devote to it. So I think that's why he should be the logo, simply for that reason. What do you guys think?
All right, you guys go real quick around the horn so that way, because we got to run here.
I don't think so. I don't think that the league should be – first of all, I don't care, but I don't think that changing the logo is that big of a deal, and I think that you could make a very compelling case for plenty of others, but, you know, Kobe died tragically, and so now that's what, you know, Kyrie is saying. So,
LZ?
I'm indifferent to who the logo is. If it's Kobe, great. If it's Kareem, great. If it stays the same, I'm good with that too.
Yeah, I'm mostly like that, but if we were going to make a change, I'd like it to be the cap. That's just my position on it. So, all right, we're done here. LZ, excellent work as always.
You too, brother. Or brothers. My bad.
Yes. Yeah, Cap, excellent work as always.
Yes, our work is done here. Thank you to the squad and to the entire listening audience. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks, George.
Yep, Laura and Greg, great job. Thank you guys for tuning in, calling in. Oh, and yeah, Morales, you were okay too. All right, Sliwa and Michael, Spock and the Jock, as Michael likes to call it, in our pregame show coming up next. Michael and John will have your call of the game, Lakers Blazers here at 7 o'clock. All coming up in just a moment. Stick around, 710 ESPN.